This is RSBNB Update, episode 428, recorded Friday, August 30th, 2013. We found Waldo. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to this RSBNB Update episode. We are here this week. Episode. Yes. I'll just introduce you first, but here with Mr. J1, J2, J3.
Hi, y'all.
And, of course, for anybody who doesn't know, or if you're just joining us, my RS name and something else I'll reveal later on in the show is Shane12088. So, yes, Episto. The reason I said Episto is that was just in my mind, because way back in the olden days, way back before RSBNB, I used to make typos even back then.
You still do.
I know. And I made a map for Star Trek Armada 2, and on the maps you could make a mini-map image, a custom mini-map image, and I said on this one I made, based on a Star Trek Voyager episode. And, you know, every time I see a typo regarding episode, that one comes into mind. So I don't know why I was thinking it right there, but that's just why I said episode.
Okay.
So, anyways, yes, now that that's out of the way, that was just a, if anyone's wondering what the heck an episode is. So, let's talk RS. We were expecting the loyalty store merger to appear this week, but it did not. It's actually been postponed to next week because of technical difficulties. So we'll look forward to that because I know a bunch of us were looking forward to purchasing bank boosters and maybe even keepsake box overrides with our huge amounts of loyalty points that we've accumulated over the years. So it's good that they delayed it because they said with literally millions of loyalty points to count up and distribute and with the last few minute bugs to iron out, we felt the best to delay the launch until next week rather than rush it out. So
it's coming out when it's ready.
Yes, just like Valve. Yay. JX practicing Valve time.
I don't know. I think Jagex would actually release something sooner than Val.
Well, yeah, they have released some pretty spectacular bugs, as we discussed before last week with the skills and whatnot. But, yeah, Valve time basically just means it releases when it's ready. So, anyways, so we're still waiting for that. But in the meantime, we actually did get an update this week, a very rare Thursday update, which surprised the living daylights out of me. I was not expecting this, were you?
No, not really.
Yeah, so this week's update brought a bunch of fixes and enhancements to the new interface system, which, you know, is in development because from the beta, you can only get so much feedback, and then when you expand it to the larger audiences, you get more feedback, and that's what came from this. And some of the options that were brought back this week were options that existed prior that people wanted back. For instance, the ability to click through chat boxes. Personally, I always found that really annoying.
Really?
Yeah, clicking through a chat box.
I never really bothered with it. I think the only chat I had with it was sometimes I had to manipulate the camera, but I've gotten used to doing that anyway. I turn mine on because sometimes it actually does help, especially when I'm making glories.
Okay. Also, they've freed up the function keys, so if you want to rebind F1 through F8, you can do that as well.
Yes!
That's nice.
Yay. You know,
I actually understand this because a while back, for instance, on OS X, the F8 key by default opens up Launchpad, which is really annoying for legacy OS X users on this. So it's nice that you can finally rebind those.
Hmm.
They've also reintroduced split private chat.
Yes, I like that feature, but I have a little problem with it though, is that I have to stretch it out so that it actually shows the chat the way I want it to be.
What do you mean?
It was by default, it was all the way at the top left. At least for me, it was on top left.
Right. Yeah,
so I moved it down, but I was, you know, I was talking to one of my friends. Hey, can you type some stuff in? And I just want to see how it looks. And suddenly, I noticed that I had to go back in, restretch it, because sometimes parts of the letter would get cut off because of how it was shaped. But that was just me. And it's okay. I think my only pet peeve is that I made the friend chat blue and people log in and now it's red. I was like, I can't see anything.
That is a bit of an issue, I think. That should be fixed, in my opinion. It should be the same colors as it used to be. Because if you're letting messages going in or go out be your custom color, the light green in my case, then you have these red text from people signing in and signing out. That's just annoying having the different color there. So, also, more compact interface layouts due to improved spacing and list style interfaces. So, as an example, this includes the inventory, abilities, and skills, actually. So I've been able to slim my interface down even more, which is very nice. So I'm definitely taking the minimalistic approach. Now, this last point, we've also made it possible to position many of the interfaces without needing to enter edit mode. I don't get this. Does this mean that you can move things like the private chat without going into edit? Because, like, I didn't see any visual cues as to how you would accomplish this.
I don't know. I didn't see much of it.
Maybe it means you're able to move the bank. I mean, I haven't banked in the entire week because I've been doing divination, but that could be the case.
One thing I did notice, though, was that, you know, with the split party chat, I can actually move it without having to queue, but I'm not too sure of this one either. I think it's more of, I'm on RS right now trying it out. Don't know if it was there before, but, you know, if you go into one of the skills thing, one of the little icons at the bottom, and if you hold on to it, it'll actually pop out. You can drag it out wherever you want.
Really?
That's the only thing I can think of. And so you know how before we just...
It doesn't snap like it used to.
You can click on it, and it will pop up wherever it was, but I noticed that you can just hold on to it and just drag it out to put it wherever you want. But that's the only thing I can think of. Could be wrong. Right. I don't know.
I don't know. Hard to say, but... overall, I think the changes this week are good, and hopefully we'll see more of them, specifically that private chat feature. I'm looking on the forums to see if I see anything regarding that, but I don't immediately right here, which is too bad. So, anyways, let's move on to the next piece of news for this week, and that is Super September, which is what was highlighted today to us in a very early September behind the scenes, which we'll get to in a little bit. But basically, Super September is going to turn your character into a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've always wanted to be a superhero.
Nah, I just want my lord as a title.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll get that from this. We'll see.
That's the only title I want.
What about liberal?
Why liberal?
Why not?
Why? I don't want that.
Okay.
Stupid.
Okay, so basically what's going to happen for Super September is that for each day in September, there's going to be a super challenge. And whenever you do one of these super challenges, it counts towards rewards that you get along the way and ultimately at the end. Before that, though, it's worth noting that double XP for regular challenges and 1.5 times XP for Dungeoneering challenges is in the month of September. So it seems as though they're trying to promote the challenge system. Do you still do those dailies?
Not all of them. I do some of them because they're actually worth doing, but good majority I don't bother because I don't feel like making 100 flat packs and losing it all.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Like, I'll always do the Dungeoneering one and always the farming one and summoning ones because I like those skills and I need the Dungeoneering XP. It's just an easy way of getting it. So, definitely nice going to be getting double and 1.5 times XP on that. But anyways, the super challenges are going to be, as they say, superhero type challenges. As an example, the challenge you'll get on Sunday the 1st, is Miracle Recovery. Trigger 10 portents of restoration, and that means you need to go below a certain amount of life points and then have it automatically heal you. So,
The pendant stuff, right?
Hmm?
The pendant stuff?
No, portent.
Divination?
Portent.
Yeah, well, I can't remember how to say it. I just remember it was divination.
Yep. Also, some of the rewards you'll get along the way are at 5 days, you'll get the superhero outfit, 10 challenges, super and super villain title, plus 5k. And then at 15, superhero emote, which from the picture on here kind of looks like something that Superman would do. 20 challenges is superhero lightning. Wonder what that is. It doesn't exactly say. 25 is the superhero claws, and 30 is the superhero shield, plus 35k. Oh, okay, those are loyalty point bonuses. I see. So it's a good way of testing out the new loyalty system. There we go. Interesting, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Good way to get loyalty points if you're running behind or if you're saving up for something specific, I guess. So that's good. And also, for those people that complete all of the challenges, initially it was only going to be for the top 1,000, but anybody who completes all the challenges will get a gold superhero-type armor.
I don't know. I think that armor looks funny. It looks like something out of it. The whole thing looks like something out of Thor.
Hmm. I've not seen that movie, so I can't commentate on that.
Think of Loki, but in all gold.
That's still not helping me.
You didn't watch The Avengers? Nope.
Nope. You know, I don't watch superhero movies.
So, okay.
Anyways, there's going to be two super challenges that have their own high score tables, and those are Farmyard, Rampage, and Bulldog. And you can complete these as many times as you want because they're each going to have their own high score table, and the top 1,000 of each of these will earn two new titles. They don't say what the new titles are, but you're also going to get them along with the gold outfit if you're in the top 1,000. So, I don't know. You think it'll be easy to stay in the top 1,000 for a set of daily challenges like this?
Nah. You'll get the top 0.5% that just does this like crazy, just running on a high score.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
They have way more time than most of us do.
Yeah, and I mean, previously you had to be in the top 1,000 to get the gold army, but they changed that on the release of this news post. So, I mean, it's not too bad. There's no reason really to do it unless you're super crazy about a title. Super crazy for superheroes, I guess. I don't know. That could be the meme of September. Super crazy RSBNB update. Super crazy Shane12088. Yes? No? Maybe so?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, I have a feeling I'd be getting lots of strange looks if there was people saying Super Shane12088 or Super Crazy, rather. Anyways, So yeah, Super September looks interesting, and nice to know there's going to be an update starting on the Sunday. All right. What do you think of the cape, actually? What, just before we move on, how it's the got cape? That cursive RS type font on there. It doesn't really look natural as to what you'd see in game, given the time.
The cape looks nice. I can't go past beyond the logo flat dab in the middle of it.
Yeah, that does concern me like that. I mean, that jumps out at me and it doesn't make it look natural. So.
And so it's like, it looks nice, but then it's kind of like, it's kind of
sticking out like a sore thumb. Yeah, that's a word. But I don't know. Maybe we have to see it in game to see what's going on with this, because it could just be a matter of perception. But anyways, let's move on and we'll discuss more of this next week, what we think of the challenges and whatnot. So, all right. So first up, the battle update of the week. Right now, Sarah Doman is in the lead by 27.5 million points, which has increased, I think, by about 2 million or maybe 3 since last week. So seems to be going good in the direction for Sarah Doman.
Okay.
And next?
Well, Sarah Doma's forces have decided to spawn an additional special unit. Zamorakan forces have voted to increase the effect of their special units by 50%. So Zamorakan units are stronger, but Sarah Doma has some new people.
Yeah, that's the one I voted for on the Sarah Doman side.
I think the new guy should be a binder. Has spellcaster, bind stone.
Oh, okay.
Binding spell. No, so I guess a holding spelling wizard.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
No, actually, better yet, they should just go up to like, believe in God, and see what happens. Maybe the Zamorakan people will start melting and burning with the whatever symbol Sarah Doman is trying to use on them.
Well, you know, then Zamorak could do the same thing to the Sarah Doman people.
Yeah, but then I bet Sarah Doman people probably go and dump a bunch of holy water onto everyone and, you know, go cure them of all that stuff.
Yeah, that's entirely possible, I guess. But anyways, the Duke's Dilemma is also back this week. This week you have a choice between choosing to bring in brave and loyal guard dogs, terrifying deadly spiders, or they can train rats up to help with defending Lumbridge Castle. I think the option is obvious here as to which way to go. I chose the guard dogs.
I didn't choose for any.
Yeah, because, you know, there is always the do-nothing option, because there's only 25,000 credits left to work with, and, you know, once you use them all up, you're pretty much done, so.
Well, for me, it was more of, we have two gods that can summon incredibly powerful warriors to kill each other. You really think a guard dog and a giant spider is going to mean anything to them?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like,
very good point.
Doggy's coming.
And what happens with the spiders?
Big boot.
Okay, so they get crushed. And then rats? They probably don't have a rat's chance.
Nah, if their Zamorakians were smart, they eat them. Giant rats. Good meat. We ate rats in the game.
You're right, we did. I remember raising my cooking using that. And I remember some of them were very aggressive and potentially killed me too. So... anyways, so that's the thing you can choose in the Duke's Dilemma. And always remember to check that out, because it's free bonus XP for a specific skill, and not divination yet, but probably by the end of the battle you might be able to choose divination. So always go and do this. It just takes a couple seconds. Oh, and the winning choice from last week was to ask the druids for wardsmen.
What did I choose? I think I chose. I think last week
I chose nothing. Anyways, just a couple of tweaks and fixes to mention this week. First up being spell damage dealt by players now scales with the level of the magic weapon the player is using to bring it in line with the recent changes to ranged ammunition. So if you're using a crap staff, you're not going to use as much as if you were using something more appropriate to your level, which makes sense, I guess. Because previously you could just cast something and it would do the amount of damage that was advertised on the spell. So that was an advantage to magic, and it's good that's been fixed. And, from the release notes this week, there's a couple of interesting things that I want to highlight, actually. Literally, only two. First off, players can, once again, set their keybinds to the numpad buttons, which is interesting that that was broken at some point, or that there is no difference between the numbers and the numpad.
Mm-hmm.
And key bindings on the action bar are no longer disabled when typing the slash, double slash, or triple slash while not being in friends, clan chat, or guest clan chat. I'm pretty sure that I stumbled upon that at once upon a time by accidentally pressing that and disabled key bindings by mistake. So,
mm-hmm.
Good okay. to see it's been fixed. You have anything from these?
One thing I really do like to change is that if you get a chronicle, it actually shows up in text bar, in a chat box. So at least now I know if when it's mine, instead of trying to figure out if maybe someone else would grab it before then.
All right, because you do have a bit of an option if they are yours to get it first, right?
Mm-hmm. It's invisible to everyone else until a certain amount of time. I like the fact that Magna gives you some herbal or lamps. I could use some of those later on.
Whoa, where?
Meg, player known ports.
Oh, okay.
She has a chance of giving you a herbal or a lamp, not that she will every Tuesday.
All right.
And Wisp and Dungeoneer no longer appear on top of combat NPCs, which I think is really good because I had some trouble with those. But,
all right.
Yeah, that's basically it for me.
The Squeal update of the week, or every other week, or fortnight, or whatever you want to call it, I guess, is the
Lucky Charms.
Clovers. Yes, you get any of these?
No.
Oh, okay. I got some of the 1% ones, so the 2-leaf clover, and then the 3-leaf clover will give you 2%, and the 4-leaf clover will give you 3% bonus XP. Yeah, I got like 3 of them so far.
Do they last forever or what?
That's a good question. Because they're only available until September 2nd. So it's just a weekend promotion. So I'm not sure how long they'll stay around for. That's a very good question, though. And also, while worn, these necklaces give you the chance to win even more loot. So prizes include the prismatic lamps, cash bags, a 1-leaf clover that grants a +5 boost to random skill for 30 minutes, and a lucky item usually only winnable from the wheel. So always a good reason to wear these. Very nice. So you haven't got any yet?
Nah.
That's too bad. Very too bad. Anyways, shall we move on to behind the scenes?
Sure.
All right, so we've already discussed Super September, so moving past that, the Dungeoneering task set. You must be pretty happy about this.
I'm a little 50-50 over it. I mean, I don't want to go Dungeoneering just to do some of the task. I think that kind of goes away over what you're supposed to do there, which is kind of want to kind of have fun, kill bosses, make a name for yourself.
Yeah, it says it'll start with sinkholes and then go close to requiring 99 level Dungeoneering. So it won't require that, but it'll take you pretty close. Craft Spirit Bloom Orb. Have you ever done that?
Which one?
Spirit Bloom Orb.
Spirit Bloom Orb.
Yeah.
I think Spirit Bloom is one of the higher up staff, I believe. I don't know. Never made one. I don't think my farming level is high enough to even get those unless I get someone else to do it for me.
I still feel like this is a separate little game going into dungeoneering and whatnot, and the rewards would have to be pretty good to get me to do these tasks. I'll say that. Because, I'm not a fan of dungeoneering. I'm done with leveling the skill. I got level 85. I'm good with that. I'm right now actually concocting a plan to just do sinkholes to get enough tokens to get the Charming Imp, which is, I think, 100,000 credits.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways. Also this month, Birthright of the Dwarves, which is the Grandmaster finale to the Dwarf series. So this will definitely be very interesting to look at. They say Grandmaster levels of XP. Three new dragon weapons. Get that? Three.
Ooh.
So one of them's going to be the throwing axe. I think we know that much. What else is there?
Let's see. Throwing axe.
Got the short sword?
Nah, that's worthless. Maybe we have a dragon bow. Maybe a dragon staff. I doubt dragon it, but staff. Who knows? Nah, never know.
But they said dragon weapons.
Staff is a weapon.
Warhammer, perhaps?
Yeah, maybe.
Like we see all these weapons and everything in game, like the rune ones, and no one ever used them. So, I'm struggling to think of what the other two weapons could be, but I guess we'll see that when the quest comes out. Also, a pickaxe that acts as a mining and smithing version of the Inferno adds, and also improved add-ons to the lava flow mine, and all these will be available if you've completed King of the Dwarves, are combat ready, mm-hmm. and have minimum levels of 80 mining, 82 smithing, and 85 strength. So you have been warned. Level up right now before the quest if you want to be able to do it on day one. And of course, there's also some other small things coming this month with Dwarf graphical update, unsurprisingly. Virago is being tweaked again. So it's changing the way it works as they mentioned it would. So as an example, it's a spectacular new attack. It's called a green bomb. Wonder what that's going to be. I don't know. But definitely going to be interesting to see how this changes what we did. Also, combat timers. So you'll be able to see how much time is left on items such as overload potions, that sort of thing. Battle of Lumbridge conclusion, I guess.
Okay.
What do you think's gonna happen after it ends?
What, after the timer ends?
No, after Battle of Lumbridge ends.
Oh. We'll be stuck forking the build to repair the place.
Yeah.
I kinda doubt Saradoma is ever like, yeah, we gotta fix this place up. But maybe, just maybe, it would be a good idea if we all kind of gather around and like, hey, we're all mini deities here. Maybe we could use our magic powers to summon bricks and mortars to fix the place and not spend a dime.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And while we're at it, let's fix up Edgeville too.
Yeah, let's do that. Alright. And of course, also some stuff for solo monsters, like superhero teleports and hit splats. So, pretty full month, given everything that's been said here, I think. So much for the people that say that there's no updates happening. Like, this is one of the most jam-packed months we've had this entire year. I fail to see how people can say that there's nothing happening in RS, or that it's on some sort of decline, but we'll get to that later. All right. And just a reminder, there is a BTS video out this week for Super September if you want to see more pictures and in-game previews of it. So just head on over to the RuneScape.com website and look for BTS Video 68. All right. Ready for questions?
Sure. Let's do this.
All right. First one's an audio question from Ramska.
Hello, Shane and Tempu Tricky. How you doing? Waramska here. I just bought a Zyrite bow. I'm going to open a can to celebrate this. Oh, yeah. Sorry, a bit of a pop there. Host, what is your RS moment of yeah? And how would you describe it? As you achieve something great. Not like a 99, but like something that's not skill related. Sense of achievement. Anyways, host, I was scrolling through the shopping mall the other day, and I at the food court, I noticed somebody didn't finish their fish and chips, and which I was tempted to go and finish it off. Which leads me to this question: what food have you picked up tonight? In a sense, that's random elsewhere, which you didn't know where it came from. I once ate a bag of hot chips that was sitting on a train station bench. I ate it, and I'm still here asking you this question. And also, I only recently realized Where's Wally is apparently known as Where's Waldo in your part of the world, host. I was always confused, who is Waldo? And apparently it's the, you know, same person. Anyways, I'll talk to you next time. Waramska out.
All right, RS achievement.
Killing Queen Black Dragon for the very first time after months of agonizing defeat.
All right.
That was a good day. Remember that day?
Anything else you want to... No, I don't.
Oh, and the day I finally finished off that that quest with that Cesar boss.
All right. Anything you want to share about the Queen Black Dragon or what your method was?
Run. Keep on running.
All right. As for me, my RS achievement moment would be one of two things. First one would be purchasing a Santa hat way, way back when for a grand total of only 400,000 GP. And then later purchasing more of these, two more of them for under a million for a total of three. And mm-hmm. I, a couple years later, made a profit of about, 60 million on the two that I sold. In hindsight, you know, you probably should have kept it until now. They're about 150. But anyways, I'm just keeping the one that I have right now for cosmetic purposes. It's not going on sale ever. Okay. And the second one would be the luck that I can't seem to get in RS, but I can always seem to get in Star Trek Online, is getting a third age pair of plate legs from a clue scroll. Yeah, and this is back when they were only about 20 million, give or take, and you had to sell them through the exchange, so I really got shortchanged on those. But those would be my two greatest achievement things that I can remember. And the other, only other notable drops that I ever got was the double Torva gloves during last year's double loot weekend at the God Wars. So, yeah. But also, I just want to note that in my entire time playing RS, I've only gotten two Dragon Medium helmets, one half shield, and two skirts, and zero plate legs.
Mm.
And that's all I've ever gotten for actually rare drops on RS. So, that's why those are... two proud moments is because it doesn't appear as though I can get good drops in this game.
I don't get good drops on this either.
Yeah. All right. So have you ever picked up people's food that you've ate in public?
That I've ate in public?
Or that other people have ate and then just left?
Other people? No. Family? Yes.
Yeah, I have not done this for other people. Family, yes, but I definitely would not do such a thing. Definitely not at a food court, and definitely not at a train station, a bag of spicy chips that were just left there. So best of luck to you with that, and be careful when you're doing that in the future. That's my word of advice on that. I think you'll probably echo that from a public health point of view, right?
No comment. If you want to eat other people's food, it's all on you.
All right. Thank you, Maramska. And next one is from the RR Man.
The next skill will be, well, a secondary skill to divination. How it will work. And do you think it's going to involve the energies that are collected? Because I'm going the slow way and I'm training it and saving every single energy I produce in hopes that that will give me a head start on the next skill. Hopefully it will. What do you think? Cheers.
I'd say I agree. It's definitely going to use the energies, but how it's going to use that, that is beyond me for the time being, because I thought divination was just going to be a collection skill and you weren't going to be able to make things with the energy that you get right now. So I'm a little confused about that. I'm out on the edge. What do you think?
I really don't know what to think right now. I really don't.
Yeah, I mean, we were both thrown for kind of a loop here as to what was going to be going on, because I think we were both sold on my theory of what the two skills were going to do, right?
Yeah, we kind of thought that it would... it does a little bit, but we're kind of hoping that divination kind of enhance other non-combat skill.
Yeah, and you know, in reality, the second skill could still enhance other things in game. Like, for example, it could be an add-on to crafting, smithing, fletching, pretty much any other secondary finishing skill that's out there. So... I think having divination involved with that, with the energies, is definitely potentially something that can happen, but I'm a little more guarded now as to saying that with confidence after seeing what divination is and being surprised by the fact that there's an actual crafting component in divination itself. So, but yeah, like I said, you can keep the energies. It's probably a very good idea to do that if you're not rushing for XP right now. Also keep in mind that when the second skill comes out, it's entirely possible that the market for energies will increase. And, basically, could you imagine being level 80 or level 70 odd divination and having these, energies be worth the equivalent of, say, a magic log. So if you, for instance, stack 2,000 energies on your way from level 80 to 90, you just made 2 million GP. So I'd say if you're not rushing for XP, stack energy.
Yeah, they're good money right now. And, you know, what's also good is they still give you experience, although it's not even close to what you could be getting. But you still get a little bit...
Yeah. And you know, that's something I've been debating as well with divination is what is the right point in leveling up at the higher levels to start saving energy for the next boon, right?
Well, I think the most expensive boon is less than 2,000 energy. So what's going to be the main money maker is, you know, why people buy those is to one, either train it, because those who want it will just buy it to increase their energy. Mm-hmm. Two is actually if they're, well, I wouldn't say they're lazy because it's really easy to get, but if they want to make those special objects, like divine trees or mines or what rocks or whatnot. I mean, they cost relatively little, but if you don't feel like going to grab it, I can see people just buying off the G really quick.
Yep. Yeah. So I'd say stacking energy is a good idea, and I would like it to be kind of something like what I was thinking, but I think enhancing other skills is a good thing at this point with some other add-ons thrown in, but I'm going to say that much more guarded now, given what divination actually turned out to be. But thank you for the question. And let's remember that if you want to send in audio questions like these two just did, you can either record the audio file and email it to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can leave us a voicemail on Skype, just add the username rsbnbupdate, call it, and leave your message. Or you can leave a phone voicemail if you're in the U.S. at 572-2632.
Hmm. Okay. You want to take the first question?
No, you can take the first question.
Okay, this question is from Flash, dear Shane and Tricky. After finding out that we need energy from divination for a new skill next year, I'm unsure what to do with my energies. Should I sell them or save them up? I'm somewhat low on cash, so I really want to make some money by selling energy. But I also don't want to be stuck with nothing when the new skill comes out. I hope the price of energy will drop so they can buy it later on. But I'm not sure if that will happen. What do you guys think I should do with my energy? Sell it or keep it? Thanks. I say sell it.
Yeah, I say sell it right now if you need the cash. Or better yet, just rush to the divination level that you're trying to get. And then do it like you would do any other gathering skill and spend some time each week after you get there and gather energy from the points that you want. So,
because, you know, here's the other little thing is, this is coming out next year. We're just heading into September, and they're not going to release it. I highly doubt they're going to release it in January. So they're probably releasing around May, June, July, around that time frame next summer. So you still have plenty of time to go know life it and level up if you really wanted to do that. But if you're short on cash right now, sell them. They're going for a relatively decent price. Well, each one is...
just at the level 60 to 70 training spot, yesterday I saw someone selling for around 200 each, and that's just the vibrant energy at that level. So
I think almost all of them are 200. I think almost all of them are 200 each, unless they're the higher up ones. I think if I'm more high, even when I was probably fluctuated now with demand, supply and demand, but I found them, every one of them, to be around 200 each so far.
Yeah.
So you need the money, sell it, and you still have time. And, you know, I mean, unless you want to get 99 right away in a new skill, but that's going to be a lot of pale energy, a lot of wisp, a lot of divine.
By the way,
vibrant.
Someone actually got 99 yesterday.
I know.
I forget what his name was. It's escaping me now. What is it? I shouldn't have to look it up. I saw it.
We'll talk more about it later. It was a drum gun, I think.
Yeah. Or no, he's third in that skill. Let's just see. Divination. Was the name. No, it was I'm Choice. He was the first one to 99, but stopped a bit after that. And right now, actually, as of recording this, there are 10 people already with 99 divination. So...
Mm-hmm.
People are going pretty fast.
And Zezima is at 98 right now. Very, very close to 99.
Nice. I wonder who we paid. Back to the question. I'd say sell it in the meantime. It's not like you need it. And just imagine you have all of Christmas break, and as I said, maybe an hour a week for all the weeks between now and the skill release to stock up on energy again, so I really wouldn't worry about it.
Okay, got time.
All right, next question is from Lord Rickles. Hello, hosts. I have a question about the time frame of the Sixth Age for you guys. Jagex has alluded that the events going on will eventually come to an end. From a continuity standpoint, do you think God Wars 2 will simply end and go away? Or will there be a lasting effect that will alter many things about the game? Say, for example, that Zamorak dies. Does that mean that all the altars in the world devoted to him will change to some other god? Will quests have to change? Does the end of the Sixth Age mean the end of the game's storyline? Jagex doesn't have the best track record with continuity, even with Guthix gone. So what changes do you foresee? So,
I see more Dragonkin flying around.
Yeah, you know, that was alluded to in the Ritual of the Majorat, that they have to come in somewhere with this, don't they?
Mm-hmm. And what's the other thing? I think even if Zamorak dies, the altars would still work because people would still worship him. I mean, you just have to have faith, I guess.
There's the Guthix altar in Taverly still that you can use. I mean, if Zamorak were to die, just a hypothetical if, I mean, it would definitely open up a whole new change for the storyline as to the way it can go and the way that all the NPCs and further on quests would act. So, I mean, it would represent a seismic shift, but that would just be par for the course. So, but I get what you're saying in that there would be some continuity issues with that, and they would need to address it either by, like you said, having them change to a different god or having them lose some of their effect, or maybe at the bare minimum just having the NPCs around them speak differently. And yes, quests would have to change based on that, because remember, there are notices now if you start playing a quest that takes place before the Sixth Age. So if you were to go play While Guthix Sleeps right now, you would get a notice saying, hey, this happened back in the Fifth Age, and you're in the Sixth Age now. So this piece of content happened in the past. So at the end of the Battle of Lumbridge, like you said, something is ultimately going to happen to Ser Domin or Zamorak. So chances are there will be a piece of text somewhere in a piece of content that is dependent. It'll say this piece of content happened after the Battle of Lumbridge, or this piece of content happened during the Battle of Lumbridge, that sort of thing. So it would depend based on what the players do, I guess, and they would have to gate the quests accordingly like that. And, you know, like you said, it's a huge, huge amount of stuff to update, and it would take some time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I certainly think that the demise of Ser Domin would be a bigger loss, given the fact that much more of the world worships him. For instance, just take a look at all of the places that do that compared to only the couple that worship Zamorak. I mean, that would be a whole lot to change and a whole lot of NPCs to change as well. So, I think they have to do it regardless of whether or not what happens, because if they don't, then it looks like an incomplete product and it'll be confusing to the player at the end.
Mm.
So.
I think more.
End of the Sixth Age mean the end of the game storyline? No, I don't think so, because even if you square away this thing with the gods, there are a whole selection of other storylines that we haven't touched yet. So, I'd say it's not the end, and ultimately changes will need to be made.
Okay. God Wars 2 would be actually interesting because we'll be in the thick of it if you think about it. But I think if they're going to do a quest like this, I want them. It would be nice if they actually release a multiplayer quest. If they want to do something like this, where you gather a group of friends and just go all at it, you know, against a giant army. We have Guthix power on our side, so that help us out. Of course, if you don't have five friends on the game who need to do the quest, you're screwed.
Yeah, that would be an issue, and I don't think they could force that on people. Because if they did, that would not bode well to new players.
Well, if you also think about it, as of right now, we do have... actually, for me, I would really like to get the Phoenix and the whole... What's the other gang and Varrock thing back again? You remember? Yeah, Black Arm and the Phoenix gang. I mean, we just did... We had two quests. We had the ones for heroes and that regular one way back when. You're still part of a gang. It would be nice to kind of bring that all back around again. I mean, you're probably master of the thieving guild and everything else by now. So you think, like, suddenly the headmaster of Black Arms and Phoenix gang would kind of try and recruit you to do something, do a job.
Yeah, and that's what I said. There's no way that the game storyline could end because there's so many other things that could be opened up and used. So,
and, you know, I kind of talked about this in my little post on the forum is what I would really like to see Jackass do is just incorporate everything we've done into one giant, massive quest. You know, like, we go explore Elven Land, then we go explore the new city in the desert, then we go scuba diving, we grab our allies from all over the world to help fight for the common good or
so
evil.
So basically you want a quest that
I want our own swan song. I want our own swan song. Like, if Jackass was to say, like, all right, this is the last quest we're going to release ever, and then we're going to shut this place down, go out with a bang. You know?
Yeah, that would be good to do, but I don't see that happening. I mean, it's nice to think about, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, you never know. I want our own swan song. I mean, people quit all the time. People quit, may come back, maybe not. And, you know, if people decide to quit, you might as well have them go out with a bang.
Yeah, and, you know? And then...
Yeah.
Coming back to the question, though, I mean... How much of this stuff would result in change into other storylines? I mean, like, that's the problem, is that you're so limited in what you can do because you need to pan out through all the possible choices that can happen. And then you realize that the other half of them aren't going to happen at all. So.
Oh, then you just do the Star Trek method. Dump the character into a... Yeah, kind of. Dump the character into a parallel dimension and then do whatever the hell you want.
All right. I think that's enough with that question, but definitely an interesting thought. All right. Next one from 101Duck1. Actually, no, this one's your one.
Yeah, I was wondering what you're talking about. Okay, whatever. 101Duck1. Hey, y'all. I don't have time to record another question, so I'll keep it brief. My question is for you guys this week. What do you guys do when you're under a lot of stress? What do you guys do to blow off steam? First, I like to finger paint. I will explain, but I won't for time's sake. Anyway, thanks for your awesome podcast as well, Week of RuneScape. Finger paint. That reminds me of an old Recess episode. You get to feel the colors with your finger.
I see. I don't know. I never like doing that. I never like getting my fingers dirty, but... you want to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I find that the best thing to do is to just not worry about it. And in order to not worry about it, you need to put the item away, whatever it might be. In the case of me, it's probably a file on the computer or something with some piece of code that's not working, or a bunch of them. And just to just put that away and get lost in something else. And whether that be a session of RuneScape doing... Who knows what in game, like doing a whole bunch of Slayer tasks or something like that, or leveling up a new character on Star Trek Online. Basically, just keep yourself busy with something else. You know, something that worked good for hour at a bit sessions used to be FPS gaming. And that still works too. It's just a question of which game to go. So that's what I like to do. Just put the file away, literally, if you can, like a file on your computer or whatever you're working on that's stressing you out. And if it's not a physical object that you can put away, put it away in your head. file it away and then just go do something else, something that makes you calm, something that you can put some thought into so that you're not spending those same thought patterns on RS or whatever the thing bothering you is.
Okay.
You?
For me, it depends on what the thing is. I mean, one thing I kind of figured out, one best way to really relieve the stress is really just to tackle it, especially at work. And sometimes you get really stressed out with all the things I have to do, and I'm just like, either you hunker down and deal with it and get rid of it, or it'll be, because it'll still be there tomorrow morning.
Yeah, so, and that's the thing. Like, if it's something that's out of your control, there's no point in worrying about it. That's the way I see it. But if you can and it's stressing you out and it's not the time to do it, then just put it away. But continue.
But if I am really starting to get stressed out, I kind of go for a walk at night. Put on my phone and listen to some music as I walk around. Let the cool air kind of like mellow me out. But, you know, it's never really hot here in San Francisco, so.
That works too, I guess.
Take a walk, tire myself out, worry about it later. Right. And sometimes, sometimes I actually find out that as I'm walking, my brain is processing all the junk, and then I'm like, oh, I have an epiphany.
Yeah, that's good. And you know, I've come up with a numerous amount of things like that. That's actually where the goal signature idea came from. After seeing goal signature prototype elsewhere.
You remember the old thing that people say is a best place to do your philosophy thinking is in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Actually, I was taking a shower and I was like, you know, like, oh, that's how I can do it. Or you're sitting down doing your business. Got nothing to do but think, unless you're playing your Game Boy.
Which is an entirely different issue, which we're not going to address. So I think we've answered this one. And finger painting is a very interesting way to do it. So thank you. And the last question is from ParkourMan99. Hey there, hosts. In my travels across the land, both in-game and out, I've noticed that many people seem to think that RS is declining. Do you think there's any validity to these statements? Personally, I love every part, right down to the microtransactions. Keep up the great work and have fun scaping. This age-old question. We dealt with it 2 weeks ago, and it's coming up again. And it definitely seems to be not just in our community now that Parkour Man has mentioned it, but also in the general RS community. And I'll say it again. It's not declining. This is the best time to be playing RuneScape ever. All you need to do is walk through Varrock from the south tip all the way up to the Grand Exchange and listen to the music and look around you in the HTML5 client and see what you're experiencing. Another thing, go for a walk along the waterfront from Port Sarum to Remington Crafting Guild up to Falador. Same thing, turn the music on and you'll see how much this game has improved, and you'll see that it is not declining. And like I said, September is a packed month of updates. And I mean, more so than it was back in the olden days. So, I mean, I completely agree with you, and there is no part to this that is true in my beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything to add to that?
I just think that, you know, many people have left, but you know, we still got a good core of people are here who are still playing. I mean, you know, check your friend list, how many people are still come on. Hopefully it's still a relatively decent size.
Yeah, that's true. And if not, I'm going to refer back to a different article that was on Informer once and go scout out some more micro communities on RS and see what other kind of people exist. So, yeah, I'd say we're definitely pretty good right now. And if there was validity to the statement, we would see it in other things as well. Like, we would see a definite decline in the amount of RS updates that were happening, as in we'd be going back to a bi-weekly update schedule, and we wouldn't see as frequent updates. And there are updates every week, whether or not they're posted on the forums or not. They always appear through a server reboot or just slipstreamed in via hotfix.
Slipstreamed in.
So, yeah, so there's that. And there's also remembering that there's other community initiatives going on with Jagex. And let's not forget the huge investment into the game with HTML5 and all the new audio and whatnot. If you're a game that's in decline, you don't go out and invest in the composer that composed Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. Let me just tell you that much. So,
actually,
anyways,
you,
I don't have anything else to say on this one, do you?
Well, on a side note, actually, let me double check on this really quick.
What are you looking for?
Let's see. Well, as you may remember, though, is that many, many, many moons ago, Jagex was actually contracted by Hasbro with a license to create a Transformer Universe game, MMO. And although it's, I think they're still working on it. Let's see. Well,
I know Stellar Dawn was canceled.
Yeah, that was canned, but although the Transformer team supposedly just had some layoffs, so I don't know. But it's still.
But I mean, we're talking about RS right here, and I can't see that happening with RS because, like I said, you don't hire a top of the line composer if your game is in decline.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, thank you for the questions, everyone. Just a correction to what I said earlier. If you want to phone us in an audio question and you're in the U.S., the full number is 571-572-2632. I forgot to pen the area code on that. Also, if you want to send in a text question, you can do that by visiting and signing up for the forums at rsbnb.com/forums. And question topics are usually posted on Monday unless it slips our mind or we're very busy. All right. Ready for tech news?
Go. The mind
All right.
control.
Yes, this is mind control. Mind control actually demonstrated. Researchers have demonstrated a brain-to-brain interface. So basically, two people would be hooked up in remote locations through a network, and one person would think of an action to do, and the other person would have their brain's circuits wired up to receive that action. So the example is that they were able to control hand motions of this researcher. So through the internet, basically, the one fellow would think, I want to move my hand, a finger or something like that, and it would light up on the screen to show the brain action. And then on the video, it shows the other person's hand actually moving. So, and it's also worth noting that neither person was connected to each other through Skype, just the independent researchers at each location were. What do you think of this?
Well, you may not want to put that chip in your brain anytime soon.
Why not?
Next thing you know, Big Brother may want you to do something when you're overseas.
Well, I mean, that is actually true, that you could be hacked if you put a chip in your computer. But this isn't exactly putting a chip in your brain. This is just wearing a hat that connects to your neurons, so there's nothing to worry about in this sense. But it's interesting nonetheless to show how computers can interpret actions that the brain sees. I'd highly recommend that you watch this video and see how it's actually working. And the reason this is interesting is because it shows a whole host of future applications. Applications from enabling amputees, for example, to have a computer assisting control of an artificial limb, for example, that can give you super control of your fingers that you can't get with the modern-day prosthetic. That's one thing. Another example might be, from the entertainment perspective, controlling an entertainment controller, a way you were never able to do so before. So there's lots of interesting things that could come from this, both on the practical side, as I just mentioned, and also on the research side as to learning how the brain works. So if you're interested in this, just have a look. Link is in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. You have any comments on that one?
Nah, not really. I got nothing.
All right. Next up, and in a historic vote, the New Zealand Parliament banned software patents. So 5 years of debate resulted in a bill being passed 117-4 that banned the creation of future software patents. But software patents that were registered before this are still legal. Now, the thing about this is that software patents are often seen as inhibiting innovation because, for example, there's a patent on the iPhone that prevents Android from doing a slide to unlock feature. Now, you can say slide to unlock. Okay, that's a mediocre patent. But at the same time, Apple says slide to unlock is crucial in providing one of the experiences on the iPhone. So, I mean, you can see why Apple would patent something like that. It's in order to ensure that the user experience of their device does not change. And you know, that's understandable. It's also understandable for inventors who might need a software patent to show that they can build something or create something and then demo it off without worrying about someone stealing the idea and making money from it. So, I mean, while it's good to foster development and growth of smaller companies, it hurts people at the same time by preventing them from having a lock on their items that they've created in order to prevent them from being stolen outright at a demo. So, I mean, software doing one thing can be patented, and then you basically lose your edge if you're not ready to ship just yet. So, I mean, there's good things and bad things about this. Obviously, stop patent trolls, but like I said, can be potentially bad for people who have discovered something groundbreaking that they want to demo but aren't ready to ship yet. So, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on this?
With all the people that keep suing each other for the most minute quote unquote changes or similarities to every single software, I think it's kind of in a small way it's kind of good because you end a lot of lawsuits and a lot of pain in the butt. Because, you know, you remember when Apple sued Samsung because they believed that Samsung used copyrighted materials from Apple, and that case is still having its ups and downs. So it's kind of like, you don't, well, you have a copyright power here, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. But like I said, it can also be viewed the other way around in that, patents are a way of making money. If you can come up with a good idea, patent it. Why not just make money from the patent rather than running a business, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you can see it from both ways, but overall, I think it's for the better than for the worst, just because it enables future growth and not having to worry about if something is patented. So. All right.
Okay.
So let us move on to the final piece of tech news, which is Apple's iPhone trade-in program in the U.S. So this is due to the suspected release of the next iPhone, which will probably be on September 10th, the way everything is pointing out. But, you know, it's a rumor, and we really don't dabble in those. But regardless, Apple has started a trade-in program in all 250 retail stores. Basically, you trade in your old device towards credit for a new model. So it's like trading your car in. Your car is a couple years old, you do a trade-in, you see how much value you can get for it, and you put that towards a new one. The only downside is that you need to have a contract in order to take advantage of it, and you must leave the store with a new phone rather than simply receive a credit to be used at a later date.
You know, they're just gonna recycle the parts.
Yeah, and you know, if it's a 4S or something like that, for an example, there's a very good chance that they could refurbish it with a new battery and sell it as new. So, win-win for them.
Bring it to a third world country, can you afford the right newest one? And hey, easy money.
I don't know if they have the cell networks in third world countries that could support such a thing, though.
Oh, call it a mini iPad or something.
There was already one of those, but it's definitely going to be interesting to see if this goes international as well to Canada and other countries, because it's nice to have this in the U.S., but there's lots of other people in the world that could take advantage of this, and Apple would certainly be setting a precedent with the market if they could do this in other countries as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens as the 10th of September rolls around. All right. Anything else on that?
No, nothing.
All righty. Well, skill of the month, defense. Currently still 101 Duck 1 in the lead. First place, 6.6 million experience gain. Second place is Bletherskite with 3.2. And third place is Fishfish with 2.8 million experience gained. And it looks like Flash might be making a bit of an increase towards position number 3. We'll have to wait and see what happens in these in the last 24 hours here. But looks like 101 Duck has this in the bag. And it's also worth noting that the September 2013 skill of the month is divination. So you can sign up for that on the forums. Actually, not on the forums, on our skill of the month page, which is rsbnb.com/skotm. And you just enter in your forum username and your RuneScape display name, and off you go. You're entered in the skill of the month. And just because it is divination, a brand new skill, we have extended our sign-up to the entire community. Previously, you would need to have an account that's an account that is a month old in order to compete in skill of the month. But we dropped that restriction because of divination, so now anyone can sign up. So we look forward to seeing everybody sign up. So if you're listening to this and you've never created a forum account or you've never signed up for a skill of the month, you can head on in now, assuming it's before September 1st. So if you're listening on the weekend, sign up and participate in skill of the month.
Congrats, 101 Duck.
Just because it's divination. Yeah, and you're right. We could probably say congrats to 101 Duck 1 just because he's near the end of the month.
Unless it's a miracle.
Yeah. Hard to say that with defense. Unless someone's got a huge amount of what are those things? Yeah, or pest control points to turn in. You know, I wonder if anyone does that anymore.
They do. For the bit of the money, although, as I recall, you don't get any experience from killing monsters, and actually, I think you still do just kind of from killing people, so I think you still get experience from it. Soul War is completely dead, though, because when we get experience now is through the points or killing monsters, but if you're killing monsters, you're not really doing much of anything, so it's a lose situation for Soul Wars. It really did die.
All right. I believe you have a pick.
So, Shane, we kind of got educated today. We found out that in the rest of the world, it's Where's Wally? Only in the U.S. and Canada do we say, Where's Waldo? Why? We don't know. But, well, since we were talking about it earlier, I decided to make this week's pick of the week, where'swaldo.com.
All right, so tell us about this.
Oh, it's just a little website where you can buy their books and everything else, a little backstory on why they made it. It kind of tells you, when every book you open, you have to do a couple things. It's find Waldo, obviously. Find Wendy or Wilma.
Oops.
That's the fish, wasn't it? Yes, that fish does that. You got to find the burglar, Oddlaw. Find the dog, Wolf, and the wizard, Whitebeard. You went through Where's Waldo book when you were a child?
Yes, actually.
Remember, to this day, you still cannot find all them all, can you?
I don't know. Probably could now if I went through it, doing it methodically. I'll tell you, the best way to search for something in a jumbled mess like that is to do a grid search. Scan the top row, go down, scan them all in centimeter by centimeter blocks.
Anyway, so here's a little website, Where's Waldo, and a little backstory and all the characters and the books that they've sold here. You can still buy them off there, of course. And, just take a look. Where's Waldo? Waldo's there somewhere. I find it surprising.
Can you actually look on this and see where he is and do Where's Waldo puzzles?
To this day, I'm finding it a little surprising that no one made a website on, here's Waldo, look for him. But I guess that'd be copyrighted material, too. So, I'm surprised.
Yeah, it would be. It would.
So, in a way, it's kind of you're kind of interesting that Waldo developers didn't make a cheap book and sell that like crazy.
There aren't there tons of them, a different one each year that comes out or something like that, I guess. Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know how many. All I know is it's one of those it's one of those things that you just kind of grew up with. And, every kid kind of likes them.
All right. Well, that's a good pick of the week. So if you're younger and you're not experienced with that, where'swaldo.com. That's the pick of the week. Thank you.
Oop, found them. Well, all right. Maybe not.
And just reminded everybody that we do run YouTube now. YouTube videos. RSPB update supplemental. This is not a weekly thing. It could be in the future. So there's a link in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com about last week's supplemental episode. So go there, have a watch, tell us what you think, what you'd like to see happening with supplemental, and it'll go from there. I was discussing earlier that supplemental is going to be focused on technical details, but at the same time, if we go 3 weeks without a technical update, it makes sense to do something related to supplemental. So in a way, supplemental could become a 5-minute pre-show about the certain update we're going to be discussing as our main update of the week. So anyways, let us know what you think about this. If you like the idea, if you have ideas as to what would make it more entertaining, if, what we could do to take it up to a weekly frequency, perhaps. Just let us know. All right.
All right.
What have you been up to?
I've been doing quite a bit of divination, actually. I got myself to level 62, so I'm still slightly ahead of Uncle Daniel. Just slightly.
I'm ahead of you both. I'm close to level 68.
Yeah, as I recall, you have more time to know a life than we do.
Actually, no, I'll just let you continue on this. Continue on telling us what you've been doing. I'm sorry to hijack.
I actually managed to try out more divinations in the dungeon, and as for opening a door, it is one per use, but I kind of found it was okay, because you don't, oftentimes I don't need a super high one. I just grab the one that I can get my hands on, turn them all into energy, and that's basically it, and I can open some doors every once in a while. It was actually helpful for me, because I got through some doors where, like, I didn't feel like making a potion. I actually ended up getting a smithing and fire making level for my citadel, which is good.
Oh, that's good. So what level are you in those now?
I got 96 fire making and 86 smithing, which, you know, if you think about it, if all fired up quests just came out, I could actually do it before the whole nerf thing.
Yeah, that's right. All right, is there anything else?
For those, as you remember from last week's episode, there are some winners for the My Interface competition. Send me a PM. So make sure you like to listen to the podcast and contact me, and we'll set up a time to retrieve your prize.
All right. As for me this week, I have been doing divination. I'm currently level 68, approaching 69. And that's pretty much all I've been doing on RS this week. Debating when I want to go back to the Battle of Lumbridge, or if it'll be an XP waste for my divination time. I'll probably go back to the Battle of Lumbridge and finish off everything I need to finish off there after getting level 70 divination. Then after that, we'll see if I go back to divination or if I go to finish my thieving to level 90. So... Also, I should also mention that when Divination came out, I set up a Twitter account for my RS character. So if you're interested in that, if you're on there, you can follow me at Shane12088 on Twitter. That's all I've been up to really this week. Not much else to report. Starting to spec out a new project for something RSBNB related, which you'll be seeing by November. I can guarantee that much. So,
Actually, I managed to dabble my hands in some of those divination trees and whatnot. It was quite good.
Okay. What'd you get?
I tried the U one because that was the only one I could make, but it was good. I was like, oh, wow, I got what I put into it and more. And someone actually summoned a hunter one, so I was playing around with it. And, ooh, this is nice. So, yeah, definitely things you want to do.
You can make one. Go ahead.
Just saying, you can make one of them every day. So it'd be a good idea to make them as you're leveling up.
Yeah,
they're worth it if you can get a lot of people.
I got some Grand Mal spikes from the Hunter one that I encountered, so that's always nice because those are used in the extreme ranging potions. So. Anyways, I think that's it for this week. I don't think there's anything else for us to mention. Just remember that Divination sign-up closes at the end of the day today on Saturday, so if you're one of our early listeners, make sure you sign up before September 1st. And if not, well, you'll be able to sign up for October. All right.
Okay, then.
So with that being said, we'll see you next week, everybody, and thank you for listening to this episode of RSBNB Update.
All right, take care. Peace out.